Hosa's out of the box. Jalmerson put it in behind the net to Bowen. DeSobo right point. Hammers a shot. Here's Hosa. The rebound. Score!
Hawks win! Hawks win! Marion Hosa's first Blackhawk playoff goal! It's a game winner in overtime!
Great memories right there. Jordan Burfield.
Marion Hosa flying out of the penalty box, scoring the goal. He had so many great moments.
If they don't win that particular game, I don't know if they win the cup that year.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
It was
yeah.
It was dicey. Troy Murray, WGN Radio, formerly of your Chicago Blackhawks, dominating the pandemic, being healthier than anybody else out there, taking time to join us right now. Troy, Muzz, good to have you on, my friend. It's haven't heard you in a while, so thank you for taking some time tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Are you sitting with some birds and hanging out on the patio? It sounds amazingly peaceful wherever you're at.
I'm actually on a bike just kind of cruising around the neighborhood.
Wow, look at you, Troy. You're living your best life. This is great.
Wait, hold on a second. Yeah. You're literally riding a bicycle right now and talking to us. This is amazing.
Yeah, just don't ask me to text anything or tweet. I'll be in trouble.
Wow, this is kind of like WGN radio history.
Yeah, but see, not out of breath at all. He's obviously still in great shape. You know, no issue. Can be on the phone and ride the bike. I love it, Troy. It's excellent.
Did you forget that you were doing the radio hit tonight, or was it specifically strategic that I'm going to ride my bike and talk to these guys?
No, actually, just went for a little bike ride and ended up running into some neighbors. So. Was talking to them, and my alarm went off to remind me that I did have the radio show. I did bring my headset with me, so I could do it while I was riding.
Excellent.
We appreciate it, Troy.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on Marion Hosa going to the Hall of Fame? I know that you guys used to be skating partners, right?
Yeah, I was talking about a story a little bit earlier this week when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and it was when he was skating when it was a lockout, and he hadn't been cleared medically, so he was looking for a skating partner, and the Blackhawks asked me if I would skate with him. So I went out with him, you know, and here's a guy in his prime of his career, great shape, and I'm an old guy trying to keep up with there. They got the defibrillators, they had him close to the bench, and I survived it, but oh my goodness, what a treat. To skate with Marion. I mean, he was so strong and so powerful. It was unbelievable. And even when you watched him, you knew that he was strong. But when you're playing a little one-on-one and you're, you know, doing some battle drills in the corner, you just have no idea how strong that man was. He's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Marion Hosa and when he came to the Blackhawks, at the time he came, you know, you're thinking about a Hawks team that was on the rise, that had gotten close to a Stanley Cup but came up short. He comes in terms of acquisitions in Blackhawks history, where does that one rank for you?
Oh, well, boy, if there was a more important acquisition, I don't know where it was. I mean, I love the Patrick Sharp trade, which happened prior to that, but... and that was a steal to get Marion Hosa to sign with the Blackhawks. Really was significant in my mind because not only was the team young and on the rise, prior to a couple years before Marion got here, you know, the team was struggling and the team hadn't made the playoffs and made once in 10 years. Nobody wanted to come to Chicago. You were having to pay over your overpaid players who were a little bit past their prime to come to Chicago. And all of a sudden, you know, Marion Hosa, in his prime, went to two cup finals with Pittsburgh and then with Detroit. He turns around, he looks at the Blackhawks, he sees that this is a young, good core group of guys, and obviously everything, as you said, on the uprise, and he signs, you know, a 12-year deal. That was a huge moment, not only for the team to get Marion Hosa, but also a huge statement to say Chicago is the destination that people want to come to, and that really turned a lot of people's opinions about what was going on in Chicago and opened a lot of people's eyes when Marion signed that deal, and the rest is history. It was a tremendous pickup.
I was at the press conference when they announced the signing, and I asked Dale Talon at the time, who was the Blackhawks GM, I said, was part of this, you know, not only are you adding in a supreme talent, but you're also stealing away from the Red Wings. And he just smiled at me. He's like, that was the point, young man, or whatever. You know, he loved the double hit because you were taken away from Detroit and adding on, which was a beautiful part of it.
Because that was significant because, you know, Detroit was still at the top of their game. You know, they were the team that if you were going to win the Stanley Cup in the West at that point, you had to go through Detroit. So for Marion to make the decision to say, hey, listen, I tried it with Detroit. It didn't work. I love what's going on here. But at the same time, I think my best chance to win a Stanley Cup is to sign with the Chicago Blackhawks. So that was huge that, you know, you were able to pry a player like that away from Detroit, who was the flagship team in the NHL at that point.
Troy, you've been around the game for a long time, and when you were talking about skating with Marion, when you brought up the strength that he has, that's honestly what I think of when I think of Marion Hossa, the strength that he had with the puck on both ends of the ice, whether on defense or offense, that he could just push people off the puck and possess it in such a way, and then obviously had the skills to be such an effective player both on offense and on defense. Is that kind of the characteristic that you think of most when you think of Marion, or what defines him as a player in your mind?
Well, he obviously was a special player offensively and you know, just so powerful and a big power forward. But the way that he played the game defensively and quietly went about his business. I mean, he wasn't a guy that said a lot. He was a very quiet individual, great guy, and then had a great attitude and all that kind of stuff, but quiet, unassuming, if you want to call it that. And just his overall game was so impressive. And you know, I am a guy that, okay, I won the Selke Trophy. I kind of look at players maybe in a little bit of a different light. And I see how Marion Hossa, and he gives a lot of credit to Datsyuk and Zetterberg in his time in Detroit to see how hard those guys worked away from the puck to get the puck back so they could be more successful going the other way. And his overall game was incredible. You know, the way that he tracked pucks coming back and stripped pucks away and I had the good fortune to play with a lot of great players in my day, and I played with a guy named Jaromir Jagr, who everybody knows if you're a hockey
fan. Pretty good.
but I compare Hossa with Jagr as far as they're both the same height. They're very large, tall guys, strong, and they use long sticks, and they protect the puck like no other guys. And it's just incredible how they could fend players off and still make plays basically with one hand on their stick and make incredible plays. So he was a unique player, and I'm happy for him. He's a great guy. And for him to get in on the first ballot is pretty special. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, say, why didn't this guy, why didn't that guy? And nobody's ever going to be happy. It's not a perfect process. But for Marion to get in, it's just tremendous. Happy for him.
You won the Selke when you were 23 years old, Troy. By the way, in a year that you had 45 goals and 54 assists, pretty well-rounded game you were putting up there.
It was just one of those years that everything worked out well, and it was a great year. Had a great line that year. Kurt Fraser and Eddie Olczyk, and we all had excellent years. Loved our team. Loved playing with those guys, and it was just one of those years that kind of fell into place. Except at the end of the year, I think we won our division, maybe won the West. We got swept by Toronto in the first round, which was unfortunate. But I will say this on my behalf. About 2 weeks before the season ended, I broke two ribs, and nobody knew about that. And the second game before the playoffs, I was slashed on a breakaway, and I broke my hand in half. Played the last game of the season and played the first two games in the series against Toronto, and Bob Pulford at that point shut me down, and I couldn't hold my stick. And you were doing what you had to do just to get into the lineup medically wise, but I was so ineffective that even in the third game they just pulled me out of the lineup, and yeah, that was it.
My God.
So this is very disappointing after a great year.
Hockey players are crazy.
We love you, Troy. Troy, it's amazing. Hockey players are just a different breed of human. I remember after covering, you know, when they were winning the Stanley Cups in the last 10 years, when they'd have those press conferences after the season had ended and they'd already won the cup, and then you find out all the injuries that these guys are playing with. And, like, my jaw was on the ground just listening to some of this stuff. So when you talk about it, it's really amazing to hear, but it kind of leads me to the next question I wanted to ask you about, which is this upcoming return to hockey. First of all, the Blackhawks being in the postseason is certainly something that a lot of us are excited about. But I'm curious your thoughts, just as somebody who played this game at a high level, if you were playing today, would you feel comfortable going back out on the ice given what we're dealing with in the world right now?
It's, you know, that's a tough question, and I don't know if there's a right answer to this. There's a lot of concern, and you know, this thing is far from over. But they're doing everything that they can, you know, protect the players, to protect the people, everybody involved in the equation if they do start up. And hopefully that's the way it happens. But I would think that for me as a player, I would not be worried. That's my individual kind of choice. But at the same time, I know that it's a real tough decision to make as you move forward.
Troy, can you hang on for 2 minutes and stay with us, or do you got to get out of here?
No, I'm good. I'll
okay,
stay.
All right. We'll do a 2 minute real quick timeout. Stay on track here. Thanks for holding. Coming back with Troy Murray of your Blackhawks in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Troy Murray with us on the Team Hochberg phone line here. All right, Troy. Can they beat the Edmonton Oilers? What type of shot do you give the Blackhawks here in a 5-game series?
I think everything's up for grabs here. I you know what? I don't know who you've got. McDavid and Draisaitl on Edmonton, two of the best young players in the game. But, boy, I wouldn't count out Taves and Kane. And goaltending is going to be paramount. And I'm not counting out Corey Crawford. I think that he's going to be the best goaltender in the series. So I'm certainly going to give the Blackhawks a good chance to beat the Edmonton Oilers. And I think there's so many unknowns, like how many players are in great condition, how many players, you know, are going to be a little bit sore, you know, stepping right into this high-intensity atmosphere. I give youth a lot of leeway, and I also think that experience is going to be huge in this factor, and Chicago's got a lot more experience than the Oilers do.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask you about that because it feels like, I mean, there's no way to know, right? This is literally an unprecedented situation, but I would think that having a team like the Blackhawks in this field, given their postseason experience, I would think that that's probably the one of the factors that would be most beneficial in such a weird situation, right?
Yeah, I you know what? If there's a dangerous team that maybe people didn't think about, I think Chicago's got to be one of those teams. I mean, you know, they've got the winning pedigree. They've been there. They've done that. They've got some good young players. You know, you've got a monster on defense like Duncan Keith. He can play some big minutes. And I've been watching some of the social media stuff, and you're seeing how fit Duncan Keith is and how good he is staying in shape. And that could be a huge factor. I would never count the Blackhawks out. And I think if you're the Edmonton Oilers, yes, they're a good young team. They're fast. They're an up-and-coming team. But, boy, in a short 5-game series against an experienced team that knows how to get it done, danger.
Troy, what do you think about, as far as trying to keep players safe, the full face shield? So, I mean,
you can't do that. You can't, you know, that's just my opinion, because I know where you're going with that, but I just can't see players, and some players who are older don't even wear the visors. So, you know, all of a sudden you're going to say you have to wear a full face mask. I don't know how that's going to work, and I don't know how the players would accept that.
Yeah. Okay. No easy answers here. What?
Yeah, there's not. There's a lot of details to be worked out yet. I know that the plan is in process as far as, you know, the phases and the stages and all this kind of stuff. But there's a lot of details that still have to be worked out. They don't even know what cities they're going to be playing in yet.
Yeah, I think everyone's just trying to figure it out. There's so many questions that we can't answer, but I think one of the – I don't know if you've heard anything from, you know, people in the league. I know you're so connected in it. Like, what happens if – you know, how many players would have to test positive for them to shut it back down? I mean, I don't know if you've got any insight on that, but I feel like we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, no, you know what, Jordan, I have no idea.
Yeah.
We're not getting any information. They haven't, you know – the information that's there is very sparse as far as how this is going to work, and I have no idea what the protocol is going to be moving forward. You know, even the so-called bubble hasn't been figured out. I mean, if you're going to go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, Are you going to be quarantined in a bubble situation for, you know, 3 months? I just, you know, there's a lot of details that need to be worked out, and I don't know any of them, honestly, and nobody knows right now.
This doesn't necessarily have any impact on anything, because apparently, and it changes, by the way, through the day, but it seems like we know that it's mostly transferred through breathing and saliva and all that. But I think about, like, the equipment in hockey and just how much you have so much sweat just seeping into the pads, and you never get it out, and the smell of that locker room, and it seems like a huge challenge just to get everything sanitized enough that they can play, just even that part of it.
Yep, and how do they work that? I know that the trainers will be heavily involved in this whole equation, the medical staff, the equipment managers. There's a lot to absorb as you move forward here, because as we're talking about, this is all unknown. I mean, we've never been there before. We've never seen this, so we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. And, you know, if it just comes to a point where, boy, you know, one team just gets nailed with the virus, what do you do? So everybody's going to be on their toes the entire time. I know that the players would like to have this go smoothly, but I think that in a lot of ways, as you move forward and if you start playing these games, you're going to be doing it on the fly.
How old were you, Troy, if ever, to get used to the hockey smell?
Never.
It is so...
The equipment, I don't know. It's just got it. It's like a specific smell, though, right? Like, you walk into a hockey dressing room and you know it.
Okay, here's the funny thing, is I have two daughters and a son. My son played hockey, and my daughters were into equestrian jumping. My son said that the horse smell in the car was worse than his hockey equipment. The girls said there's no way that the hockey equipment is way worse than the horse smell. So.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like,
I had the best of both worlds.
Manure and or a hockey locker room. Boy.
Yeah. I had it all.
Troy, thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Great to talk to you, Troy.
Fingers crossed that we can get hockey and, hey, the rest of it, football, basketball, baseball, that we can get through this. But it definitely feels touch and go, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Mark and Jordan, thanks for having me on. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Troy Murray.
All right, see you guys.
Talk to you soon. Troy Murray. Hopefully we'll be here. He is the best. I don't know how he does it.
Troy Murray. I mean, honestly, when I was lucky working here the first time that, you know, we were watching this incredible Blackhawks run dynasty occur before our eyes. But it was so cool to be, you know, at the United Center in the booth with John and Troy and Judd and, you know, and Zerang and all of us watching these games and listening to them call these things and watching them observe the action in front of you. I mean, like, it was unbelievable those times.
What impressed me most about Troy, outside of the fact that he's just such a nice, good dude on every single way, but he literally, on the air, he never sounds tired ever.
I know.
Pre-game.
They can play five overtimes, doesn't matter.
Does the game, talks in the intermission, another intermission, post-game show goes for a good period of time, and he sounds the same.
Right. I mean, this is a man who is on a bike while doing an interview with us. He's clearly got the stamina and the shape to be able to do it.
There's a level of broadcaster fitness that Troy Murray brings to the table that few broadcasters have ever accomplished.
It's dwarfing us. I will say this, too, because we were talking about Marian Hossa, and I know I'm sure you dealt with Marian Hossa at times while he was playing for the Blackhawks.
Sure.
In my career covering Chicago sports, he is on the very short list of literally nicest dudes. Marino, I'm not saying this just because he's going to the Hall of Fame. I know that everyone always likes to say, like, oh, great guy. I'm honestly, Marian Hossa is the total genuine article. He bailed me out several times. He is the nicest dude. Like, that guy, good for you. Glad you're in the Hall of Fame.
And he was on the morning show with Bob Surratt this week. So if you want to hear that interview, go to WGNRadio.com. And he was incredibly gracious on that interview as well, yeah. As I was listening to Bob
that
in
dude
the morning.
Is like, I will be a Marian Hossa fan forever. That guy is great.